And I am satisfied as I look at the life of the Lord Jesus that I'm not trusting on some broken stick. I'm not leaning upon a bridge that will give way. The obedience of the Lord Jesus becomes my foundation. And my salvation is not my goodness. It's not my performance. It's not my accomplishments, but Christ's perfect life. And I've got to be satisfied, resting on his life. And the Lord says, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. And here is one that endures. The perfect life of the Lord Jesus will endure.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Dollar. And today again, we're looking at the message on labor not for the meat that perisheth. These are the very important words of our Lord Jesus found in John's Gospel, chapter 6. And we invite you to check out these words and join with us for the message of, the question is, are you a satisfied Christian? We'll have Al Smith to sing for us, Beyond Comprehension. And indeed, that is the very nature and the grace of our Lord Jesus. Firstly, we begin with our story on thirsting for the truth. Mary Jones was the daughter of the poor weaver living in a humble dwelling at the foot of Cader Idris. She was born in 1782 and early in life began to learn her father's trade. She attended a Sunday school and was soon distinguished by her readiness to learn and repeat large portions of the Word of God. As yet, although there had been many editions of the Welsh Bible published, it was an exception to see a copy in a poor man's house in Wales. The nearest Bible was 2 miles distant from Mary Jones' home. She had permission to read it as often as she chose. Meanwhile, she carefully set aside all her pence, determined, if possible, to buy a Bible of her own. After years of saving, she succeeded in making up the sum necessary to buy a copy of the Welsh Bible. She ascertained that Bala was the nearest town in which a copy might be gotten, and it was 25 miles away. But nothing daunted, the girl set off and walked all the way barefoot, carrying her boots in a bag in order to put them on just before entering Bala. She arrived at Bala late in the evening, too late to see Mr. Charles, from whom the Bible was to be had. In the morning she went to Mr. Charles, and he was touched by her simple story. He said, I am sorry that you have come all the way to obtain a Bible, seeing I have no copy to give you. All the Bibles I received from London have been sold months since, excepting one or two which I have promised to keep for friends. Mary Jones wept bitterly. The disappointment was too much for her. But Mr. Charles could not withstand her tears and at last gave her one of the promised Bibles. Mary placed the Bible in her bag and bade goodbye to the good Mr. Charles, feeling grateful to him for letting her have what she considered the greatest of treasures. Her visit to Mr. Charles left a lasting impression on both. Often afterwards did Mr. Charles refer to that touching incident to convince his English friends of the intense craving of the Welsh nation for the Word of Life. In December 1802, Mr. Charles led before the Committee of the Religious Tract Society the pressing needs of his country, and related the story of Mary Jones. The story awakened sympathy in every breast. It was then resolved that not only to have a Bible Society for Wales, but a Bible Society for all nations. This was the origin of the Bible Society. Who would have thought that little Mary Jones' journey to Bala would have supplied the important link, which until then had been wanting in the chain of events before the Bible Society could spring into being? Mary lived to an old age. The Bible she bought at Bala was by her bedside when she passed away. She no longer required to read it. She knew all its promises and consolations by heart. This Bible has recently been handed over to the British and Foreign Bible Society, with the formation of which it has so sacred a connection. An open Bible is engraved on her tombstone with the words, The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. What a story of one who labored for the meat that endureth. That's going to be our text today as we turn to our message. Firstly now, we have Al Smith to sing Beyond Comprehension.
Men may scale the highest mountain and descend the deepest sea, but no one could ever measure God's great love at Calvary. Love of Christ so pure and tender, love so merciful and free, far beyond all comprehension is the love of Christ for me. Some may try to live without Him and His beauty never see. I shall ever sing His praises for the love He gave to me.
I'm also satisfied with my Lord Jesus' perfect life. This bread that speaks about our Lord coming down from heaven and His life on earth. And as I look at the life of our Lord Jesus, I'm satisfied that He lived a perfect life. And that's altogether important for me because the Lord's obedience in the gospel plan becomes my obedience. That's how I'm justified. That's how I am made righteous. The Lord Jesus lived an obedient life in my place. And when I stumble and fall like Peter, and I'm reduced to tears as a failure, and I know that I'm not worthy, there is no sweeter truth than to know that Christ was obedient in all things. And my hope and my strength, my confidence, my peace, my joy and my excitement is the obedient life of the Lord Jesus that is now before the Father, and the Father is well pleased with His Son, and therefore He's pleased with me. And I am satisfied as I look at the life of the Lord Jesus, that I'm not trusting on some broken stick. I'm not leaning upon a bridge that will give way. The obedience of the Lord Jesus becomes my foundation. And my salvation is not my goodness, it's not my performance, it's not my accomplishments, but Christ's perfect life. And I've got to be satisfied, resting on His life. And the Lord says, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. And here is one that endures. The perfect life of the Lord Jesus will endure. And while this world goes on and God is building His church and calling His people, every saint, everyone that will ever be in heaven will be there because of the obedience of the Son of God to the law. He fulfilled the law for me. And in my place, He lived the life that I should have lived. Now let me ask you, when did you last take 5 minutes just to meditate on the obedience, the perfect life of the Lord Jesus, to comfort your own soul? You see, people want comfort, and they want peace, and they want joy in religion. But we've got to labor like that busy bee, going after the truths and meditating, resting, and enjoying these great truths. I think we should take a leaf out of the Quakers' meetings. The Quakers had meetings where there was just pure silence. They just meditated. Sometimes we're so busy. And of course, the preacher's to the clock. If he goes much over an hour and a half, he's in trouble. the whole meeting's over an hour and a half, he's in trouble. We've got to meditate. Take time. And that hymn writer is true. Take time to be holy. And it takes time just to draw the rest, the riches of feeding on the Lord Jesus and becoming satisfied. Satisfied. I am satisfied that Christ's life was perfect and I can rest on him. Something else I'm satisfied with. I'm satisfied with his sacrificial death. I came as a sinner and stood at the foot of the cross, and I looked up at the dying form of the bleeding lamb. I saw my Savior in my place. I saw the nails in his hands. I saw the blood flowing from his wounds. And I looked and I saw my Redeemer. Now either I turn away in disgust and say, that's not for me, or I say, that's enough for me. And as I see the agony of my Savior, and as I hear the words of my Lord, it is finished, I'm satisfied. And I know that I'm in good standing because my Heavenly Father is satisfied with the death of the Lord Jesus. He raised him up again. He brought him into the very presence of God. And so with Thomas, I look into the nail prints of my Savior, and I agree, he's my Lord and he's my God. But I have to take time and meditate on these things. Are you satisfied with the death, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, with his blood? How do you find satisfaction in your soul? You take time looking onto Jesus, finding peace with God through the Lord Jesus. And you need to pray this peace into your soul. Take these truths and take them to prayer and pray over them and say, Lord, fill my heart more and more with this satisfaction. I'll tell you one other thing that I'm satisfied with, and that is with his promises. The promises of the Lord Jesus are never single. They're like a string of pearls on a necklace. A string of pearls that one never stands alone. There's a whole list of them. And when our Lord Jesus gives you a gospel promise, he gives you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Every need, every burden, every desire is lifted when you look to the Lord. I read in Ephesians 1, verse 3, and I'd like you to read this with me. Ephesians 1, verse 3, and it tells us there, blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, if ever there was a man's heart bursting with satisfaction in his Lord, here it is, in the Apostle Paul writing these words. I say his heart was bursting as he wrote this passage. Here is a man taking a pen, and the pen flies, and the ink fills the page so quickly, because there is excitement here about this meat that doesn't perish. These are promises that are real and blessed. Now, do you think that Paul the Apostle was a busy bee? Do you think that these truths that he penned to these Christians at Ephesus, that they just suddenly came to his mind? No, you can be sure, here's a man in prayer. Here's a man that's living in communion with God. Here's a man that is in touch and filled with the Spirit. And he has a soul that is full of his Savior. And he is satisfied with him. That should be your satisfaction and mine. But alas, this world that distracts us, that robs us of the peace that we ought to enjoy, and we become like the bride in Song of Solomon who ran out into the streets crying out for her beloved, have you seen my beloved? For some reason, for a time, she has lost him. He has withdrawn from her, and she's looking for her beloved, the lover of her soul. That becomes the quest of the Christian, and it becomes the very expression of the satisfaction that does fill the Christian's breast. We have a number of great Christian hymns that reflect this as well. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Now, do you think that the author of that hymn didn't know something of this satisfaction, this indwelling blessedness of Christ in the soul? Or another hymn, hear thou my prayer I make on bended knee. More of the Lord was the burden of that hymn. And you know, it's the bended knee that becomes the critical thing here. If we want the satisfaction, if we want to enjoy the Lord and find Him, we need to be much in prayer. Can we say that we have been laboring in prayer? Now, I know to the world that's going to be an oxymoron. That's going to be a conflicting statement. Laboring in prayer. See, the Lord Jesus says, labor for the meat that endureth. And you have to seek it. You have to go after that. Just like the bee for the nectar. He couldn't sit in the hive and say, well, it'll come to me. He went out searching for it. And the Christian has to search for the grace, the sweetness, the blessedness of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says, meet with me in prayer. Pray, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. James said, ye have not, because ye ask not. And so we need to labor in prayer. And so if you're telling me your soul is empty, that there's no satisfaction, there's no peace, there's no enjoyment, I've been coming to church time and time again, and there's nothing there, try the bended knee. Try the bended knee. Have you tried the bended knee? Have you really earnestly labored and sought the Lord in prayer? Surely we have found the issue here. We've been rebuked. The Lord corrects. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. We have been instructed about the way of satisfaction, the meat that endureth to everlasting life. And then we come in that verse to the word of invitation, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. There's an invitation. The Son of Man will give it unto you. There's no other giver of such life. There is no religious leader, guru, priest, pastor, who can ever provide life like this. Only the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And He proved it by rising from the dead, and He now lives in the power of an endless life. And so Christians have to come back to this fountain of love. But there may be somebody here and you're not even saved today. And you're saying, these Christians, they talk about finding inner, secret, deep-seated heart peace. That's strange to me. You know that you have no spiritual life in you. You're dead in sin. Spiritual things are lost to you. The Bible's a closed book. It has no reality. And prayer has no reality. Then the reality is that you're a dead soul. There's no life in you. And that which you're seeking in the world perishes. And you'll perish with it. There's a great warning here. But Christ gives real life. The Son of Man will give unto you this life. He's the bread of life to satisfy your soul. Let me ask you, and I speak here to any that are not Christians and not saved, does the world satisfy your soul? Oh, does it really? Are there not those times when you've exhausted the pleasure pursuit? You've exhausted the worldly things, and you've come up empty. And you have to say that as you exist today in this world, you have lost sight of the world's purpose. You have lost sight of your own purpose in life. There is but misery in your soul, and all the things of this world cannot fill the triangle of your heart, which only the triune God can fill. I bid you, therefore, take up this invitation and come to the Lord who gives this spiritual life and gives this satisfaction. Now, and lastly, And I move to the next verse because this is important. There's the word of direction. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So the people got the message. I think they got the message that they were not to seek after material things, but they still needed a bit of direction because they wanted to know how they could work the works of God. And the Lord said, your task is to believe, not perform miracles. Your task is to believe, and it's by faith. You see, an unbelieving heart is really a wicked thing. God sent his Son to give life. He gave the bread from heaven to feed your soul. And if you're not saved, you're a Christ rejecter. You're turning away from that heavenly bread. You're rejecting it. And therefore, you'll perish. And if you seek works, you'll perish. There's no peace. And your conscience can never find rest in human works. You've got to come believing in the Lord Jesus, or you are among the wicked. And the wicked, we're told in the Bible, are like the troubled sea, which, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so here we have this twofold rebuke today. Christians are rebuked. We are guilty of running after the things and getting our priorities wrong. But if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, and you're asking, what should I do that I might work the works of God? Let me tell you, resting in works is a recipe for ruin. You'll perish. You'll go to hell. These things can't endure. They perish. And therefore, you need that which is to everlasting life. And of course, the answer's right here. The Son of Man gives you life. And you've got to bow the knee and accept the Lord as your Savior. You've got to begin a life of feeding on the bread that is from heaven, enjoying him. Isn't it a great thing to be able to say, I enjoy the Lord? I hope this Lord's Day you will enjoy him. I hope through this week you will enjoy him. You will open your Bible. You will come to the precious words and the promises, and they'll thrill your heart. And you'll feel that strengthening in spirit growing in the Lord. Now, when you take physical bread for breakfast, lunch, supper, whatever, and you eat that food, it nourishes the body. There's a whole chemical process of the nutrients of the bread transformed into the very blood sugars that goes through the body to feed the body. You're nourished thereby. And for the Christian, when we come to this word and we feed on prayer and spiritual things, there's a new life that comes into the soul. There's a satisfaction that we find in him. That's my prayer for you. I want every believer in this church to have that. I want you to enjoy your Lord. Therefore, labor for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. May the Lord bless his word to you. Make it precious to you. And would you think about that little bee? He was a big bee, actually. I stood my ground. I never moved. And he fluttered from petal to petal, sucking in the nectar. Would you be that busy bee this week spiritually, laboring for the meat that endureth in spiritual things? May this instruct us and help us today.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. It is a joy to bring the message of the gospel, and it is a word that is sweet to the soul. To believers in the Lord Jesus, there is this inner peace that Jesus gives because he is the Savior that satisfies. He brings heaven into our hearts. Now, I ask you, are you a satisfied Christian? Now, I'm going to realize that there is a yes and no answer to that, because here is a conundrum. The believer tells the world that Jesus satisfies every need of the soul. And yet we go to prayer and we say, Lord, come, feed my soul. Pour your grace into my heart. And there is within every true, genuine, born-again Christian this soul thirst, this longing of soul for fellowship with God. And Jesus satisfies us as our Savior by bringing us into fellowship with the Father. And it is that fellowship that we enjoy each and every day. Now, the harmony that Jesus enjoys with the Father, he leads us into that. If we may liken it to a son in the family who is now newly married, and he brings the bride into the family home. All the sweetness of friendship and family blessing that new bride enjoys because she is now united to her husband. We are united to the Lord Jesus by grace. And all the love and all the glory that Jesus enjoys in the presence of his Father, we as Christians are led to experience by grace. And this is an acceptance with God. And of course, that's the very beginning of fellowship. You can't have fellowship without acceptance. If the bride comes to the family home and the door is closed in her face, then obviously she's not accepted. But when the door is opened and through that son she has the standing of a wife, a bride in the marriage to her husband, there is then sweet fellowship. And the Lord Jesus leads us into the fellowship of the Father. We're accepted, we have acquaintance, and we are in the family. There's an adoption into the family of God. And of course, all of this becomes the personal experience of the child of God. And I want you to have that. I want that to be your experience. And I pray that the Lord in his beauty and grace will so minister to your heart by his Spirit that you will rejoice in the blessedness of knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of his precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of his word.